What's up? Welcome to The Struggle. We're episode two. I'm glad you're back, and we're glad to be back here. Ty, how was your weekend?
Man, I don't even know. You asked that question, and I can't think about what I did this weekend.
You know why? It's called pregnancy brain. Your wife is pregnant again, right?
Right. Does that mean she has pregnancy brain?
Well, it means you both have pregnancy brain.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Like, seriously, dude, my Saturday is gone. I know what I did Friday, and then I can see dinner Friday night, and then I don't have a clue what I did on Saturday.
What would you do on Friday?
Man, it was a busy day. I went and loaded a chair. I went and played some golf, trying to get better at golf, getting back into my golf game. So I went and did that, and then I went home and had dinner with my wife. It was a pretty standard Friday.
Very cool. Yeah, my weekend was not standard at all. So my 8-year-old turned 9 on Sunday, but Friday and Saturday we went to scout camp. He had a little scout camp out about 30 minutes away from our house. It wasn't too far away, but it's one of those things, you know, we just went out and hung out with all of his friends. So he did a lot of bike riding. We hiked. We just slept in a tent. And Friday night, we got out there, set everything up. About 12 o'clock at night, this storm rolled in, and I was awake waiting for David to wake up and wake me up, you know, anticipating.
Yeah.
If we were at the house, he would have been running into our room just screaming because, I mean, the thunder was deafening, and we're just in a tent, and he never woke up.
It's like an adventure at that point.
I don't know what it was. I was awake for 2 hours because of the thunder and the storm, anticipating him to wake me up anyway.
Yeah.
And he didn't move a muscle. It was amazing. So I woke up. I was a little tired, but he jumped up and was ready to go. Saturday, had a good day, went fishing and just hung out. It was great to be in nature and just be in a place where I didn't have a lot of responsibility. I didn't have anything to worry about. And just to just sit in God's creation. It was so good.
That's awesome. Me and my wife love camping. We say that. We're like idea campers. We've never actually been camping together. But we always think, we should go camping more.
So you love the idea of going camping. You're just not sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, the whole implementation thing we're not so good at.
We have some friends who love glamping. Yeah, they have their RV, and we go with them sometimes, and they don't tent camp, and when they go camping, it's with all the amenities. And so, you know, they sleep in an RV with AC or heat or whatever they need, and they have a kitchen.
Yeah, that's not camping.
No, they really do call it glamping, glamour camping.
That's appropriate.
But it was a great weekend and had a good time.
Well, as we get going on the second podcast, we wanted to remind you, what is this podcast about? Maybe you didn't catch the first podcast, and so we just want to remind you who we are. That's Clint, I'm Ty, and we are creating a podcast for students. We call it The Struggle, and we want this to be a place where students and people who work with students can come struggle with faith, about the questions that they have about faith, and we want to talk about those things, the issues that are deeper that you don't always get to ask somebody, but the questions that you really wrestle with faith. We want students to have the freedom and the chance to talk about those things. And so we take questions from students. You can send us a question on Twitter, Facebook, on Instagram. We'll have a poll that you can send questions to. And we just want to know, what are you asking about faith? And we want to help you walk through those questions and be a resource to people who work with students to hear what they're thinking about in those issues.
Yeah, what Ty's saying is this podcast relies on your participation. We need you to tell us what you're struggling with. We need you to communicate with us and let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And the more that you participate, the more we're going to have to talk about. Find us on Twitter, Instagram. You'll find out about that at the end of the podcast. But find us on social media and let us know, what are the things that you're wrestling with? What is it that you really want us to talk about?
For sure. So as we get started, I thought, this is only our second podcast, so let's have a fun get-to-know-you question for Clint and I.
But what if I don't want them to know me?
Well, then why are you doing a podcast?
Because I like talking.
Oh, well, that makes sense. But people listen to podcasts because they like the hosts. I don't know if you picked up on that.
But see, maybe I'm afraid they just won't like me if they get to know me.
That's impossible, Clint. You're the most lovable person. Okay, I can't say that. You're not the most lovable person I know.
Yeah, I was gonna. I was going to say, be careful. You do have a wife.
Clint, you're very lovable. We'll say that.
Okay, well, I'm just kidding anyway. So yeah, let's do it. Let's jump in and I'll try to be vulnerable and let people get to know who I am.
Love it. So the question I'm going to ask, and we'll both answer, is what movie or book universe would you most like to live in?
What book or movie universe? That's a huge question. I could really take the easy road. One that most, would be really popular would be Star Wars. I love the Star Wars universe.
Good choice.
I grew up watching Star Wars as a kid, wore out many a VHS tape. For those of you that are listening, a VHS tape is this square, like a rectangle thing with a ribbon of tape in it. And it actually goes in a TV or a VCR. You've probably never seen one of those. And they would actually wear out if you watched them too much. And I wore out many of our Star Wars VHS tapes. So Star Wars is probably the most popular number one choice, but I'll go with a little less popular one because one of my favorite book series to read and to watch in the movies was Lord of the Rings, and I love just the whole cinematography of it and the whole concept of this band of random people coming together to save the world. And using their different gifts and struggling together with sometimes not trusting each other, sometimes having to overcome obstacles that really seemed way too big for them to do. And I just loved that. And so that's probably my second choice.
Well, I was thinking about this question and I thought about immediately Star Wars and like Avengers, the obvious, the big things. But I was like, man, if I lived in those universes, that's tense. Like you're always at battle, always at war. That would be a tough life and kind of scary. So when I'm reading the Harry Potter series right now for the first time, I watched the movies when I was in high school and college, but I never read the books. And so I'm reading through those, and this is controversial because this is a Christian podcast, but I think it would be awesome.
We're in episode 2 and you're already going to get us in trouble, Ty.
Well, listen, I'm thinking if I lived in the Harry Potter universe, if that was real, then it would be a different set of rules, right? Like God would have made witches and wizards at that point. That's what I'm going with. So that would be a fun world.
So let's be honest. This is one of the things that's always been funny to me. People would get up in arms about Harry Potter. And you know, regardless of if you're listening to this, you know, whatever you think about those, people would get up in arms about Harry Potter. But then they would love Lord of the Rings. Which one really has more magic in it?
Yeah, or the Chronicles of Narnia, which is a magical universe.
Yeah, but don't use your logic on
listen,
me.
Listen, they're all great. But I think Harry Potter would be so fun. That would be a cool place to hang out in.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, hey, we're pretty into this podcast, and people kind of want to hear about us, but they probably want to hear about youth ministry and questions students have. So let's jump into our question that we're going to wrestle with today, which came in from our Poll Everywhere poll. And the question is, and we're gonna tackle this question from two angles, but I'll start with the question, and we'll start with it specifically, and then we'll kind of broaden it to what we think is really the heart behind the question. The question we got, how do you approach non-believers who are wanting to know more about Jesus without sounding judgmental? I thought that was a great question for students who take their faith seriously and want their friends to know the gospel and to know Jesus. It's scary to start that conversation, and that's a really difficult thing for students because their identity is wrapped up in this and how their peers view them is wrapped up in this.
Well, I'll say I love this question. In fact, we've been talking about it in our youth group for almost 2 months now. We had a series about what is the gospel, and now this month we've been doing a series about Go, Every Tongue, Tribe, and Nation, talking about how to actually share that. Our youth have been brainstorming ideas for how they can get into our communities, how they can serve, how they can love, how they can break into their friend groups and the places God has put them. And so we've been talking about it. Hopefully the youth in our group won't turn off the podcast because they've heard this so much already. But I love this question because it is, if you really ask me, it is like the most important thing for all believers. Mm.
Well, I love that you said that because I was going to say this is something hard and it's a good question to ask because sometimes we want students to just tell your friends about Jesus and we get frustrated that they're not. But if we're honest, adults aren't really great at this either. this makes everybody uncomfortable. And so how do we share our faith is a question that we all need to be asking. But I wanted to acknowledge, if you're a student listening, this is a scary thing. And you're really putting yourself out there when you have these kind of conversations. So let me give a brief answer to the specific question. Non-believer wanting to know about more about Jesus, how do you engage them? I think the first thing is obvious, is you build a relationship and you get to know this person. If you're a friend to this person, that's easier. And so I think that's kind of the background, that you need to really know the person. They can't be somebody that you're not invested in and they don't feel like you're invested or care about them. But the advice I would give you, as far as how does the conversation go, I would say let them lead the discussion. If somebody wants to know more about Jesus, that means they have questions about Jesus. And so rather than you going on the offense and telling them exactly what to believe and the things that they should believe, let them guide the conversation. Let them ask you questions about faith, and you just kind of be the one who guides and tries to help answer some of their questions. Because if they want to know more, they're curious. And so tap into that curiosity. And I would say, don't be defensive or argumentative, right? Sometimes we feel like we have to defend our faith, and if they're asking questions, we have to almost rebuke that. Man, let them ask questions. Don't be defensive. Just be somebody that will listen and try to answer their questions the best that you can.
I love that. I love that you talk about tapping into curiosity. One of my favorite stories is how Vody Bakum came to know faith. He's a famous pastor and speaker, but his story is so simple. He went to college, didn't know Jesus, and a fellow teammate on a football team who was a part of FCA started talking with him about his faith. And Vody would just come and ask him questions. And every day after practice, they'd meet in the locker room, and they would just go through the questions Vody had. For about 2 weeks, it was just this honest, genuine, Vody would come with, well, what about this? What about that? Sometimes, you know, Vody admits that he was being antagonistic, trying to cause an argument. And the person would just be very patient and just share what God was doing in their life and share the answers as best they could. And after 2 or 3 weeks, Vody was in the locker room and he remembers thinking, I don't have any more questions. I guess that means I should be a Christian. And he just knelt down at the bench in the locker room and said, Jesus, save me. And then when the football player came, he goes, I've got good news. I prayed for Jesus to save me. And it's just that simple way of just continuing to walk alongside someone in life. And like you said, allow them to guide the conversation. You don't have to be on offense. For the vast majority of the time, you are never going to convince someone that God is real or convince someone with your words. I think we have to acknowledge from the beginning that it's the Spirit's working in someone's life. You know, it's the power of God working in and through you, and then also working in their life and preparing their heart so that it's ready to receive the word at the right time. That's when those things happen, and it's awesome to see it when it happens. I think one thing that's important to remember with this as well, as a general principle, is just be okay with not having all the answers. Be honest with this person that's wanting to know more about faith. I don't have it all figured out. I'm not perfect. And this is just what I know. And so I think that's great. This idea of tapping into curiosity and letting them lead the conversation through relationships and just loving them well.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to mention that you don't have to know all the answers. And sometimes I've heard students say that's what holds them back, is what if they ask a question that I don't have the answer to? I think that's great. You can say, I don't have the answer to that, but here's my experience of why I believe, but I don't have it all figured out. And guess what? As a teenager, you don't have to have it all figured out. I'll share a secret with you. There are youth pastors and pastors, lots of them, us included, who don't have it all figured out.
Wait, you don't have it all figured out, Ty?
I don't have every answer to every theological question there ever was.
Are you sure? Because I do. I've got it all figured out.
I thought about it once, and I thought I did. And I was like, dude, I got God. I know God. And then I went to seminary and was like, oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't have it all figured out. And that's okay. That's what this idea of going through faith is all about.
Absolutely. We're talking about this idea of sharing your faith, but let's get more broad. The idea of sharing your faith and how students can do that. You've been talking about this in your youth group, so I'll ask you, how would you advise a student to share the gospel, to share their faith with a friend?
Well, the first question is, do you know what the gospel is? Can you explain the gospel? And it's sometimes it's not embarrassing, but it is definitely eye-opening if you just ask your whole youth group, can somebody tell me the gospel right now? And you just wait. And eventually somebody will be like, whoa, Jesus saved you from your sins. You know, like they'll kind of say it real quiet.
Right.
But I'm like, no. If I am someone who doesn't know Jesus and I say, hey, what is the gospel? What does it mean? And I probably won't ask you what is the gospel because that's a church word, but I'll ask you, why do you believe what you believe? Why are you a Christian? They're asking you, what is the gospel? And that's where I start, is what is the gospel? So it's important to be able to tell the gospel in a nutshell in 2 minutes. Like elevator conversation, to be able to say it, if someone asks that directly. So this idea, God created us all, he loves us. The problem is there's sin in the world, the sin has broken the world, and it's broken our relationship between our creator God and Father and us. And because of that, we can't do anything to earn that back. We can't do anything to mend that. And the Bible tells us that sin, the punishment for sin is death, but God sent Jesus to die for us, to take that punishment on our behalf so that we would A, be forgiven of sin, and then Jesus was resurrected, came back to life after he died to show that he has power over death, to give us hope to know that there is nothing in this world that we have to fear because we no longer fear sin. The power of sin can be broken in our life. We just have to be forgiven. We have to accept that forgiveness. And the fear of death is something we don't have because God has power over that death. And when we accept him, then we are promised to live with him forever. And that's the hope that we have. But it's not just for future. It changes the way we live now. Because if I have no bounds to sin, if I am no longer chained to sin and I can walk away from it, I can walk and live in true freedom. And if I'm not afraid of death, then I have nothing to fear, so I can do exactly what God has called me and asked me to do without any fear of what might happen. And I think that to me is like the gospel in a nutshell. And so being able, it doesn't have to be that exact thing, but it has to be able to explain something. What is the hope you have? Why has it changed your life? And then my other suggestion that I've told my youth is I want you to be able to do that in like a 2 minute thing because that's important to have. But if you're ever sharing like your story, like what God has done, your testimony, whatever you want to call it, I've given them these numbers, 10, 10, 80. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about 10% of what your life was like before you came to know Christ. 10% of what happened. So the gospel, that gospel message, but personalized for what it meant to you. And then 80% of your story should be what God is doing and how your life is different right now. What that hope looks like. Because when someone asks you why you believe that, they don't really want to know what happened to you 10 years ago. They want to know what's happening to you right now.
Right. Man, I love that. I've never heard the 10, 10, 80 the way that that's broken down, but I think that's great. And I love that you shared the gospel because when I was thinking about this, I thought, yeah, if this is a great time to evaluate, do you really know the gospel story? Can you articulate? Can you tell somebody the story clearly? That's got to be step one. And so if you're asking this question, I think that's great. And it may lead you back to a place of, hold on, I need to evaluate. Maybe I've grown up in church, but can I really clearly say what the story is? And more importantly, can I tell somebody how it's affected my life? Because that's what people want to hear. If you tell them the story of Jesus, that's great, and they do need to hear that, and the Spirit will use that. But what someone really wants to know is, okay, why? What's the payoff? What's the benefit of following Jesus? So if you can tell them, like you said, man, here's who I was, here's the things that I was struggling with that were holding me down, the brokenness I was dealing with, and then this is how Jesus set me free from that, and now this is what he's called me to. And that called to is really important. what are you now pursuing that's different because of Jesus? I think that's great. One thing I would say different is, or additionally, is be prepared. And I love that Clint said, think about the 2-minute spiel. We haven't had this conversation in our youth group since I've been here. I've almost been here a year now. But I like to tell students, think about it at 2 or the 3-minute story of how you've experienced God. And you should practice that. I like to get our students together in 2s or 3s, and we'll take some minutes and just say, okay, practice telling your story in 2 minutes about your experience with God. Because when we practice it, all of a sudden it becomes real to us.
That's great. We did that last month. That was on a Wednesday night, we just broke up into groups of 2 and 3. And I said, here's what I want you to do, your 2 to 3 minute story. And that's exactly what we did. And it was awesome as a youth pastor to walk around and hear all of them trying to figure out how to share what God is doing or has done in their life. And that's just so cool.
Yeah, I think this is not a new idea. There was a guy called Peter who tapped into this early on. This is 1 Peter 3:15. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And then he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And then he says, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I think that sums up a good strategy. Be prepared. Know your story. Rehearse it. Talk to a friend about it. And that way you're prepared to have that conversation with gentleness and respect. Always with humility, not aggressively or judgmentally. But just humbly with like, hey, this is my experience with God. I'd love you to give it a chance.
Okay, it's official. We have become a Christian podcast because we just read our first verse of scripture on the show. Thank you, Ty.
You're welcome.
No, that is the absolute perfect scripture for this, though. To always be prepared to give the answer of the hope that you have. I mean, and the key there is, do you have hope?
Absolutely.
Has it changed something in you? And some of the students I talk with, it's funny, they'll say, oh, well, I mean, God didn't really change my life, but he did. They just haven't been able to figure out how to articulate that.
Yeah.
And I think that's another important thing is if you grew up in a Christian home, you grew up in church, you may not have this, well, God took me from here to there. But if you're growing in your faith, it just takes more effort to look back and see what God has changed, what attitudes God has changed. And that's why it's so important to have accountability. And that's where accountability is tied directly into sharing your faith. If you have accountability, yes, it holds you accountable so you don't do the things you shouldn't do, but it also holds you accountable so that you are doing the things God calls you to. And when that happens, you get to see how your faith has changed you. And it's not just you. Other people point out, hey, you know what? I've really seen God do this in your life. I've really seen this happen. And it's in those times of accountability where we actually gather in a lot of the things that we need in our own life to be able to share what God is doing to our friends.
For sure. So one of the things I wanted to give a plug for is if you're a student who's asking this question and you're wrestling with how do I share my faith, if you're in Texas, I want to point you to something that I really believe in, an organization called Super Summer. And it's a camp. It's almost like a camp. It's a week long during the summer. But really what they like to say is it's more of an evangelism training week. And if you're asking this question, how do I share the gospel? Their motto is they want to teach students to know and share the gospel. That's it. To know and share the gospel. So if this is something you're curious about, go to your youth pastor today, call them, text them and say, hey, I want to go to this thing called Super Summer and ask them if they could help you get there. Because that's exactly what they do is they want to equip students to share. And why I think that's important is it's awesome to invite your friends to church. It's great to get them in there and have them overhear the gospel. But what's really going to change your friend's life is inviting them to church and then being a part of that community. But it's really going to be when you share your story with them. And so I want, if you're a student and you're nervous about that, Sure, invite your friends to church. That's an awesome first step, but it is just a first step. I want you to feel confident in talking about Jesus and talking about your faith with the people in your circle.
I also endorse Super Summer. I agree that it is a great resource and a great place for students to go. And I promise they aren't sponsoring us. We're just saying that for free. So,
yeah.
But if they want to sponsor us, you know, hey, let's go for it. Super Summer, we're
waiting.
Listening? We're listening. Yeah. But seriously, regardless of whether it's Super Summer or Dare to Share or lots of organizations, there are places and resources for youth pastors and students to be challenged on how to share their faith, and be equipped to share their faith in a better, or in a deeper way. One of the things I wanted to mention and throw out there is the Life in Six Words app. If you haven't checked it out, it's on, iTunes and Google Play, but it's put out by, I think it's put out by Dare to Share, and it's just a really easy, simple interface on your phone to help remind you of different points in the gospel. So if you want to share your faith with someone, you can, I mean, let's be honest, you're always going to have your phone with you. And if you have that app, you can just kind of take them through what the gospel is right there with the Life in Six Words app. So it's another resource that you might want to tap into.
Love it. You got any last thoughts?
Last thoughts. Go Cardinals. I love the St. Louis Cardinals. And so last words for today is go Cards.
Go Cards. NBA playoffs are here, so I'll just throw a shout out. Go Cavs. Go LeBron.
And everybody turns off their headphones.
Yep. And we're done. We lost all of our followers.
Anyway, we are glad that you stuck with us all the way through episode 2. This podcast relies on your participation. So find us on social media. You know, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we are at The Struggle YM, as in youth ministry. So at The Struggle YM.
Hey, and we want to say that we want to hear your feedback. And so give us feedback on our Facebook or wherever you find us. We'd love for you to answer that question of what movie or book universe would you love to live in? We'd love to hear your feedback on that. And, you know, if you've enjoyed this podcast, go like, rate, and review us on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever you listen. If you want more people to hear this podcast, that's how they'll hear about us, is through your reviews. And so if you've enjoyed this, we'd love for you to give us feedback and give us a review.
We hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, we'll see you next week.
We out.